Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Pancakes and Power Slams tonight. My name is Derek, the Raw Correspondent. I'm with you live tonight. Pancakes and Power Slams. Filling in for Chris Featherstone tonight. He will be joining us shortly as we are always tuning off with what's the best in wrestling right now. We are going on live tonight. We have a Flavor of the Week. Flavor of the Week. Five worst angles during the Attitude Era. The five worst angles during the Attitude Era. Think about that. How do you rate them? What can you remember of that? For me, the Attitude Era, in my opinion, was probably the best era that wrestling had to offer in my memory. But they did have some flops. So again, let's tune in on that. What were the flops going on? Again, my name is Derek. I am the Raw Correspondent filling in for Pancakes and Power Slams. You can follow us on Twitter. Follow Chris Featherstone, Crave Wrestling, on Bleacher Report. He's got tons of great reports on there. Blog, talk, tell us your opinion. Tell Chris your opinion. He's got tons of stuff that's going to be coming to Pancakes and Power Slams in the next few weeks coming on. Stay tuned. We're just getting bigger and better and badder. I want to hit really quick with a trivia question. Trivia question tonight is going to be, what WrestleMania did the Colossal Connection lose their title and to who? First trivia question, what WrestleMania did the Colossal Connection lose their title and to who? So after we get an answer to that, I'm going to touch a little bit on Payback. Payback had a panel of Big Show, Cody Rhodes, R-Truth, and we're just going to cut on that. Josh Matthews was there as well, doing commentary. Started off with Miz against Axel versus Barrett. You know, Axel used the perfect plex to pin Miz. That was incredible. Paying homage to his father, Mr. Perfect, as everyone knows, Mr. Perfect, probably one of the best Intercontinental Champions of all time. Maybe even one of the best wrestlers of all time, of Kurt Hennig, when he started with AWA, went on to WWE. He just blossomed from there. But back to his son, Curtis Axel. Axel wins there while he was in with Miz. Of course, after that, Axel wins the Intercontinental Belt. That was awesome. Let's give it up for him. However, the Curtis Axel thing going on right now that he never loses, how long is that going to last? I'm still curious to know what's going to go on with that, so let's keep it going. After that, you know, we had the ladies' diva titles, Caitlyn versus AJ. That's great for a divas match. I am always somebody that says I don't think the divas are that great. The diva division isn't really up to snuff as what it was back in the day. This was actually a decent match for the Divas division, so my hat's off to them. A spear by Caitlyn, she had a kick out, and then AJ wins after Caitlyn taps. They had a lot of finishing holds on each other. I mean, if you could watch this Divas match, you could probably say it was probably the best within the last 5 years of Divas, maybe even 10 years. But please call in 347-884-8452, Crave Wrestling. Again, we're all over the place on Twitter. Log into our chat room. You've got, we're on Morse CODIS, Carrier Pigeons. Anything under Crave Wrestling, you will get in touch with us. Chris Featherstone, again, has awesome articles on Bleacher Report. We have in the chat room, Lost to Demolition, WrestleMania 6, that is the right answer. Great job, Wrestling Scholar. I'll give another trivia question. This is for some of you out there I know are very, you know a lot about your wrestling. So as far as maybe behind the scenes, trained Lex Luger and Hulk Hogan. There was one person that trained Lex Luger and Hulk Hogan, among many others. I believe Ron Simmons was probably in there, but who trained Lex Luger and Hulk Hogan? Give me a name, chat room, Twitter. Again, I think somebody mentioned carrier pigeons earlier. Let's not take that literally. But after that, we're talking about payback. Caitlin versus AJ, we talked about that. AJ wants a title, good for her, kind of a nutcase. We had Dean Ambrose versus Kane after that. It was an absolute horrible finish. For a pay-per-view, there should have been something more special than just a count-out. It was a 10-second count-out. The only thing, that did nothing for Dean Ambrose. That did nothing for Kane, except make Kane look more like a weakling than what it's been in the past few weeks, past few months. I'm a huge supporter of Kane. I remember when he came in, and he's pretty much used as a jobber now. And to me, that's not really what I want Kane to be, what I look to Kane as. So what's going to come of Kane here in the near future? He's kind of been butted out of Team Hell No with Orton and Bryan right now. They're the cream of the crop. And that's hard to say about Randy Orton, but it's actually kind of true. But again, that match was, they could have done much more with that match. Ambrose and Kane again. It was Kane was counted out. After that, probably one of the biggest things of the night as far as the pay-per-view goes, RVD will return. Who can forget RVD? He came to us in ECW. Then he came over to WWF during the, what they call the Alliance with ECW. I mean, WCW wasn't really the best angle in the world, but RVD always captivated the crowd. That's one thing I remember about him. He always put on an awesome, decent show. I'm excited he's coming back. He had a time in TNA, probably not very much remembered. However, it's always a warm return. And even more exciting, it'll be the next pay-per-view, Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank is going to be excellent. RVD is going to be there. Again, I'm not going to go into too much detail with the pay-per-view. Chris Featherstone, he will be coming in later to touch on all the finer points of everything that is pro wrestling. We have an answer in the chat room that is true. Hiro Matsuda. Very good job, wrestling scholar. Again, this is Pancakes and Power Slams, 347-884-8452. Please call in. Let us know your opinions. If you have any gripes, complaints, praises, let us know. You disagree with me, disagree with Chris. Hey, we're here to listen to it. And if you don't make any sense, we'll let you know. So do you think Randy Orton will turn heel soon, is what the chat room says. I hope Randy Orton is one of the people, he's always hot and cold. If he did the heel turn, I wouldn't be surprised by it. He's now that there's tag team camaraderie with Brian. He's so hot right now. I mean, he's about ready to explode. If they play their cards right, WWE's going to really earn a lot of money with Daniel Bryan. Bringing in Randy Orton. Almost now, he could kind of be seen as a veteran, but not so much. Not so much yet. It's probably going to be WWE. But it's exciting to see these two come together. So we'll see where it goes. I hope the best. I mean, Randy Orton's been really more exciting now than he has been since he started, actually. His debut in 2003, I want to say. Because everyone remembers Bob Orton. At least old school wrestling fans remember Bob Orton. We'll see where that goes. Best luck. Daniel Bryan is hot as can be right now. Strike while the iron's hot. Y2J versus Punk. Punk wins. I didn't like that. For me, I'm a Y2J loyalist, Jerichoholic since the WCW days. So, yeah, Punk comes out on Monday Night Raw. That's a different topic. We'll talk about that here shortly. So, again, 347-884-8452. Call in. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm right. Praise me. Because, of course, I'm right. So, lastly, with the, again, we're going to talk about Y2J and CM Punk on Monday Night Raw, kind of sums it up a little better. So, CM Punk versus Ryback, it was a predictable match from beginning to end. Ryback fell through the ambulance roof. I'm not sure how that's possible. So it was a bust for the WWE to have a main event of that magnitude just kind of fizzle out and not really, at least to me, make too much sense. If you disagree, 347-884-8452, this is Pancakes and Power Slams, Anything and Everything Wrestling. Chris Featherstone will be calling in here shortly. He will give everyone his opinion. This is a respected opinion. He is the Bleacher Report writer under Crave Wrestling. Please look him up and listen. Please read what he's got to say. Comment. Versus. Was the main event of Payback. If I twisted my tongue, I'm sorry. But, again, it was that kind of a match where you just kind of see it and say, well, what really was the WWE trying to accomplish with this match? On paper, it looks exciting, but when you watch the material, you kind of scratch your head and say, what are they going with? So, we'll touch on it here a little bit later. However, I want to go flavor of the week is the five worst angles during the Attitude Era. I can think of a few. I want to hear what your opinion is. Log into the chat room. Call us 347-884-8452. The Attitude Era for me was the best time wrestling probably ever mattered as far as just what it was, what it brought to the table. Every episode was just amazing. They pushed the envelope. It wasn't as PG as it is now, a little more adult-oriented. But it can be appreciated because it did numbers. Numbers don't lie. And everybody loved that. So we'll go on with that. 347-884-8452. Excuse me. Five worst angles during Attitude Era. 347-884-8452. Pancakes and Power Slams. Your source and your home for professional wrestling. Let's get down to Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw started out Alberto Del Rio, the brand new champion. He gets a booze when he comes out last night. If you kind of go back to Payback, CM Punk comes out. This is not a solid main event by my means, as far as it's more of a mid-crowd. Having Alberto Del Rio and CM Punk come together. The WWE will make what it wants, but Punk is obviously making a face turn. Vicky shows up, declares a main event on Raw. However, CM Punk no longer wants Heyman ringside. If anybody knows Paul Heyman, they know his past. He is a mainstay in professional wrestling. He is a head figure in professional wrestling. Whether you like him or not, he did create ECW. Him and CM Punk have a lot of history together. Paul Heyman has history with many superstars of the recent past and the present. However, that was an eye-opener for a lot of people, that CM Punk no longer wants Paul Heyman by his side. Well, obviously trying to make a face turn. Last time we really saw him before Payback against Chris Jericho was probably WrestleMania when he lost to Undertaker, which is understandable. Nobody loses to Undertaker in this day and age. The Undertaker has a streak. So CM Punk doing the face turn, I can see how that can kind of help him a bit. To me, he never was main event status. They created him that way. He did all right with it. With the face turn, yeah. We'll see what comes of that. That's going to be a few weeks in the making. After that, you got Sheamus versus Cody Rhodes versus Shandow. Rhodes Scholars wins. Sheamus kind of forgot about Sandow. Sandow was hanging outside the ring. Forgot about him. Sandow comes in, attacks him. 1, 2, 3, the pin. It's not really going to make much of a difference against Sheamus, I don't believe. We'll have other opinions coming up. 347-884-8452, Pancakes and Power Slams. We're on Twitter, in the chat room. Message, what do you think? Backstage, after that, Vicky, Triple H, discusses Christian's return. I was happy to see Christian's return. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Going back to the ENC connection in the early 2000s with Edge, Christian was always the underdog that I always got behind. I related myself to Christian. Skinny white dude with short blonde hair goes out and puts on a spectacular show, almost second to none. You never go wrong with Christian. So let's keep Christian in the forefront. Let's involve him, Money in the Bank. He deserves anything and everything that's coming to him. He's been WWE since, I want to say, 1998. If I am wrong, call in 347-884-8452. Let me know in the chat. 1998 Christian debut. They were in the Breed with Gangrel, Edge, and, of course, Christian. Moving on. Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. WWE Universe, both on stipulation, no disqualification. That match was, it was a great match, however, it was a slow start. Could have been given a little more push towards the beginning. But then it was the rest of the match, you know. That's typical WWE. Kind of like a few weeks ago, I think they had like the review. Sudden review. It's so rare that something like that happens in WWE. It's like someone thrown in the towel. When it does happen, you kind of scratch your head and say, what's going on? However, I mean, last night the ref did stop it. Orton helps Bryan up. They're still friends. It looks like, you know, you kind of owe for unity. If they were to be a tag team, I think they would definitely take it by storm. However, you kind of wonder in the back of your mind, where does Kane fit into everywhere? But maybe not. Maybe that's just me. I have a soft spot for Kane. Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan was a match that you didn't want to see, but you did. You kind of hoped that the legitimate tag team and it's going to be he's totally on fire. So we'll get on with that. And we have something in the chat room. Let's see. It was legit Stinger. DB was scheduled to win. Wow. That's news to me. Let's hope our sources in the chat room know that. And let's hope for Daniel Bryan and speed recovery. However, it was a Stinger. Stone Cold has suffered that. A lot of people. Sadly, folks, that's what you get in professional wrestling. You can get injured. You cannot get injured. So, let's hope. It seemed kind of like a weird ending. So I guess that kind of makes sense. Again, let's hope the sources in the chat room are right. Well, at least they're right, but let's hope Daniel Bryan is okay and he will continue to be on fire like I've said that he has been for a long time. He was champion at AJ. Stephanie McMahon interrupts and gets confrontational with AJ. All the divas walk out. Stephanie warns all the divas to never interrupt again. And the crowd shouts, you tapped out. Caitlin attacks AJ. It's kind of a typical thing to go on for the divas. It's always good to get Stephanie McMahon involved. To get a McMahon involved in anything always kind of raises your eyebrows, brings your attention to something. Hopefully this is the attention that the divas need to kind of bring them out of the shadow they've been in. I've mentioned a lot of times, I am Derek the Raw correspondent. You've heard my opinions before when I talk about Raw, about the Divas division. A lot of times I'll turn the channel. Last night I did not. Steph McMahon being involved. And McMahon being involved brings the urgency. Kind of an urgency to what's going on. Evidently everyone knows the Divas division has been horrible. hopefully Payback kind of turned a table for them. As far as the in-ring ability of both competitors, AJ and Caitlin, was, but I thought it was great. It was phenomenal. They did a really good job putting on a show, showing everybody what they're made of, and Monday Night Raw kind of summed it up with, this is what we've got, let's go forward, and we can make it something into a lot better than what it used to, what it is now currently. So enough about that. How about U.S. Championship, Ambrose versus Kane? Okay, the Shield interrupts, it, you know. For me, this is, they need to kind of stop doing that, or else it's going to kind of turn into an NWO thing. The NWO, again, WCW, Nitro, every match that anybody in the NWO was involved in, the other members would come out and interfere. I don't want the Shield to turn into that faction. The Shield, to me, is still kind of fresh. I want the Shield to persevere and evolve into something that can be reckoned with, a solid stable in wrestling. If, when you redo things, especially something like the NWO, it was great when it started, but it was so watered down at the end. It killed the WCW, along with other things. But I'd like to see the Shield just become successful on their own terms. I don't want to see run-ins. I don't want to see things like that just come down to a head and just make the Shield look watered down and kind of thick. So I'll let this one slip, but let's keep the Shield strong individually. They are three individuals that come together as a Shield. Let's keep their individualism. Keep that going. After that, you had Regal versus Cesaro. Regal jobbed. It's a shame. Someone like William Regal, who could probably step in the ring with John Cena right now and give him a run for his money, if you want to really play your cards and put it down to brass tacks. Zeb Coulter and Cesaro and cahoots, yeah, that's something new. I didn't see that coming. If you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said no way. However, that's what we're looking at right now. So what does Zeb Coulter have to do with Cesaro? That's to come. We'll see. Right now, I don't really understand much of it. Kind of to me, I'm still upset that Regal jumped to Cesaro. William Regal is one of those individuals, like I just mentioned a few seconds ago, that can take on John Cena right now, any given day, and show him up. William Regal is always a classic. That's a soft spot for me. Let's keep William Regal in our minds and thoughts. He is probably, you know, one of the reasons a lot of people are in the business now that has true talent and that can still hang with them. He's been around since the mid-late 80s, and he's still there. Had a weaker role, but any true wrestling fan knows that William Regal is probably one of the most solid performers that the WWE has today. And again, RVD returns Money in the Bank. We mentioned that at Payback. I'm mentioning it now on Monday Night Raw. They confirmed it. That's exciting. Rob Van Dam has been around since the mid-90s, ECW era. A lot of people like to discard the ECW and say, that, well, they were just for high spots. They just liked mayhem, shock value. But kind of that's what wrestling turned into. Kind of with the Attitude Era. You don't see a whole lot of it now, but RVD is a true pioneer in all of that. I give all my props and respects to RVD. I'm excited to see him, especially he can shine at a pay-per-view. Money in the Bank is a perfect pay-per-view for him. He is absolutely, I hope he takes over. I want to see an awesome return for Rob Van Dam. I believe he can do it. WWE needs to really make that a priority for us old school wrestling fans and for fans that maybe know a little bit about Rob Van Dam, but not the total package of Rob Van Dam. So let's keep that going. Let's do another trivia question. Let's see. Who was the very first Royal Rumble winner? and what year did that take place? The very first Royal Rumble winner, what year did that take place? Call in 347-884-8452, tweet, chat room, Pancakes and Power Slams, Crave Wrestling, Jim Duggan, 1988. Tick-tock, tick-tock. You are correct. 1989 was Big John Studd was the winner, but the very first Royal Rumble winner was Jim Duggan, 1988, an awesome year. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. So after RVD returns, Cena reigns on his parade, stomps on Ryback at Payback. Mark Henry retires, and sexual chocolate chants were going rampant. Cena, awesome for Mark Henry. One more round for Mark Henry. I'm wanting to say that is going to be. I want it to be a great build up to an awesome, awesome main event. If it is Mark Henry's final farewell, again, he's one of those old school guys. I don't want to say old school guys, but guys from the Attitude Era, mid-90s, he's been there. Mark Henry has always been a name that floats around your head. And I think legitimately that he could probably put on one of the better matches against John Cena. It depends how the WWE wants to roll with it. So, again, call in 347-884-8452. My name is Derek. I am the Raw correspondent filling in for Chris Featherstone. He will be with us shortly. I want to know your opinions. What is your opinions on Mark Henry returning for one more last match? You're pretty much sure it's going to happen. It needs to be a main event. If he goes against John Cena, I'm sure they've met in the past. I can't think off the top of my head right now when and where. But under the circumstances of Mark Henry, that's what he does. Or if you were to ask him, that's what I do. That is Mark Henry, world's strongest man. He still has a lot to show in WWE. All power to him. Lastly, I want to end Monday Night Raw, CM Punk versus Del Rio. It was pretty much a match just to set up what's going to happen. Brock Lesnar comes out, CM Punk attacks Punk, F5. And then smiles at him. That's cool. If it comes to Brock Lesnar wrestling CM Punk, especially with CM Punk's face turn, I can see where that's going to make some sense, especially since Brock Lesnar is still a Paul Heyman guy, and who says Paul Heyman probably had Brock Lesnar to go out and do that. Seeing how Brock Lesnar just happened to be at the right place at the right time on Monday night last night, but could that be a new feud? Obviously, it will be. It happened on Raw. So we'll see what comes out of that, what's going to happen. Again, 347-884-8452, Pancakes and Power Slams live on the air. Follow us on Twitter. You have the chat room. Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone, Crave Wrestling. Anything and everything you ever need to know about wrestling, go into Chris Featherstone. He will tell you everything you need to know. And that's what we do here on Pancakes and Power Slams. I might put on another trivia question, but we do have a caller, special caller. I want to bring him in. You may recognize him. Give us your 2 cents, your words, your thoughts. What's going on? Tell us your name, where you're from.
Hello, my name's John. I was actually calling to see if you think that Mark Henry would beat John Cena at Money in the Bank.
Probably not, but wishful thinking. Go ahead, John.
Thanks.
Well, we just had a call from John. Doesn't think that Mark Henry can beat John Cena. I don't think he can either. So let's see what else is going on here. Again, the number to call in, 347-884-8452. My name is Derek, the Raw correspondent. We can go on with wrestling. How about another trivia question? So let's see. Actually, looks like we may have another caller coming in. I think it is the Pancakes and Power Slams himself, Mr. Pancakes and Power Slams, Chris Featherstone, will be joining us here in the next few seconds. Wonderful timing. This is his show. Let's bring him on. As always, we want to know how what's going on in the world of wrestling. He's got a lot of stuff going on for us coming in. Pancakes and Power Slams is going to get bigger and better. Chris Featherstone, tell us how you're doing. What's going on, my man?
Hello, hello, hello. Great job, great job. Derek, today holding it down. I was just hearing the previous caller, I believe his name was John or something like that. He was addressing Cena versus Henry at Money in the Bank. Very interesting and timely question. I wrote an article about it on Bleacher Report, and we'll get to it real soon. But I want to get to the Flavor of the Week soon, and, of course, I want to have my tidbits on Payback and Raw before we get to SmackDown, TNA, Impact Wrestling, ROH, and then Flavor of the Week. Thank you so much, Derek. Been doing a great job. Just hone it down while I recover from my back injury. Unfortunately, bad news for those who do not want the Heat to advance to the Game 7. They are up by 3 points with a minute and a half left. So hopefully, they were down like 14 points, but I write for Bleacher Report. I love sports. I write everything, but we're going to get to Payback real quick. Sheamus defeating Damian Sandow. It's pretty much, you know, it's pretty much a lock. I keep saying, and I've said it before, all the articles that I wrote for WrestlingInc.com, I really think that this should have been a pay-per-view match, and Damian Sandow should have won, because at the end of the day, you just get another Sheamus win. And he's starting to become compared to John Cena, which is not good. So hopefully WWE recognizes that and they don't sabotage his career as a babyface. Almost already done that. Still not high on Curtis Axel, but it was a great moment to see him win the Intercontinental title on Father's Day. And he looked up the sky, you know, tribute and homage to his dad, Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig. I also wrote an article on Bleacher Report about, and also I said it on wrestling.com, as far as them hitting a milestone, the Hennig family, Kurt Hennig and Joe Hennig, are the only father-son pair to both win the Intercontinental title. So, interesting milestone there. Kudos to Nick, who originally discussed that with me and my colleagues. AJ Lee defeats Caitlin. AJ is Divas champ. Hopefully that changes things, because Caitlin was not a good one at all. Dean Ambrose and Kane, I think Derek mentioned it as far as it being a lackluster match. Just didn't benefit anything. Just a bad finish. The quote unquote double turn between Alberto Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler was pretty interesting. I don't want to see San Antonio's up 1 point, 58 seconds left. We may see the end of the Miami dynasty here as far as 2012 season is concerned. But you get a little bonus today on Pancakes and Power Slams. Up to date. Up to time, current status on the NBA Finals game. And still, thank you all for listening in spite of that. I know this episode is going against that, but still, excuse me, thank you so much for listening. and joining us today on this payback edition of Pancakes and Power Slams. Yeah, like I said, Double Turn, very interesting. Very interesting to see that actually happen. It was not prepared for a Dolph Ziggler heel turn, so it was very interesting to see. I think it was suitable. Del Rio as a face, just one cutting it. He wasn't cutting it as a heel, but it was a good little 6 month refresher to make his heel run a little bit more fresh. Ziggler as a face, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sold yet, but it just may work. CM Punk and Jericho, good match. I will say that CM Punk did look a bit sluggish. People are esteeming this match so high. It was a good match, but it really wasn't as good as people think. I mean, I've even seen the people who are very pro CM Punk fans say that they weren't that satisfied with the match because CM Punk looked a little sluggish. I've seen random people give CM Punk just reasons why he was rusty. There was even someone who commented that said CM Punk was rusty because he was out late the night before at a concert or something like that. I mean, just cut it out. I mean, just somebody, you know, people shouldn't be that, you know, sucked in with the CM Punk crave that they just don't admit that he just wasn't on at the pay-per-view, and he wasn't. You know, they delivered for the most part. About 25 seconds left. San Antonio's up 4 points, so it looks like we're going to have NBA champions of the San Antonio Spurs. Rollins and Reigns defeating Orton and Bryan, an odd finish too. Still seems like it may be more seeds planted for Randy Orton. And then John Cena versus Ryback was it was a great pay-per-view, but Cena and Ryback just really sucked the life out of the pay-per-view. I mean, just the rigged finish, just the ambulance match was just a whole bunch of rigs. Just didn't make any sense at all. And what made it even worse was just the final spot on the night was the AA on top of the ambulance, and he goes through. Ryback is just a waste now. He's just, you know, he should really get out of the main event scene. And I don't know what he needs to do to heal his wounds, but staying in the main event scene is definitely not an option. Ryback needs to wallow in the mid-card or something because he's had ample amount of time make it right in the main event as a face and a heel, and it's not working. So Ryback needs to wallow back in the mid-card, reestablish himself in some way, but get him out of the main event scene pronto. And as far as Raw is concerned, a few just quickly hitting some things. Derek Carr did a wonderful job. Del Rio heel promo, we won Ziggler chance, interrupted by CM Punk. And when CM Punk interrupted, I was not the happiest because I don't want CM Punk as a face. I prefer him as a heel against the returning Rob Van Dam. Wrote an article about on Bleacher Report that I would have booked that for SummerSlam. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen. May have a chance, but it doesn't look like we're going to see a little bit, something a little bit different. Christian versus Wade Barrett, glad he came back. Big Christian fan. It just doesn't seem like they're going to three-pointer by the Miami Heat, 20 seconds left. Christian, I really hope that they he doesn't wallow in the mid card and just put people over. I mean, I really think they should give him one more chance, one more shot to be a main eventer. He's a great worker, and he's a great mic worker as well. Bray Wyatt promo, hyping them up, or Wyatt family promo. Interesting enough, we didn't see them. I think the buzz that was around Raw would have been good to see them. The only reason why I can see why they didn't come, because it was pretty stacked. We saw a return, we saw a fake retirement speech, and we saw someone come back, Lesnar come back and start a feud. So I can see why they knew it there, didn't bring them in that regard. Team Road Scholars defeat Sheamus. It takes a handicapped team to defeat Sheamus, but he still gets a post-match bro kick on Cody Rhodes to make himself look strong. That's the type of stuff that is not looking good for Sheamus as far as being booked. He's being booked invincible. And the WWE Universe, as we saw with Cena, the reason why people don't like Cena, people are starting to boo Sheamus now because he's starting to get those invincible labels along with him as well. So, not good. Not good at all. Daniel Bryan and Kane talk in locker room. Randy Orton defeated Daniel Bryan. Derek did mention, and the person in the chat room was correct. It was a referee stoppage. It was a legit stinger. Daniel Bryan was scheduled to win. We did report that on WrestlingInc.com. That is verified information. AJ Lee promo that involves Stephanie McMahon was really weird. It is kind of a way to resurrect the Divas division. But the power trip that Stephanie McMahon had during that time was just pointless to me. It was awkward. It was pointless. And then especially when she said it's a bye, but don't ever interrupt me again, that was just useless to me. They could have written that a little bit more to not make Stephanie McMahon look like a jerk. I wasn't a big fan of that that segment there. Kane defeating Dean Ambrose by DQ. More DQ victories, more tainted victories, not really helping the Shield whatsoever. They did triple powerbomb Kane, and then because Triple H told Vicky to make an example out of the Shield, but they went in the back after they were triple powerbombed, and then Vince McMahon said, good job, and so that kind of put Vicky Guerrero in a hard place. And the Shield kind of played to that and was mocking Vicky Guerrero, another Wyatt family promo. Antonio Cesaro defeating William Regal now. I feel different towards this than Derek does. I'm talking about how a new faction, I know there's a lot of factions, 7 seconds, Santonio of 3 points. Looks like we're just about ending. Doing NBA Finals updates Raw as well, so multitasking here on Pancakes and Power Slams. I'm trying to nudge. Oh, tied. 5 seconds left. 3-pointer. Crap. It was a stable that I want to start called the European Elite, and it's managed by William Regal. It consists of Wade Barrett, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, Antonio Cesaro, and Finlay. So 5 people with William Regal, and I think it would be a really nice legitimate faction if it really happened, but you know, I guess fantasy booking. But Antonio Cesaro, I'm really happy that he's finally getting a push. I'm real big on Cesaro, and finally glad that he's getting some type of push by aligning himself with Zeb Coulter Then we hear the John Cena in-ring promo cut by the retirement speech. It was one of the best segments in recent Raw history. It was perfectly done. It was absolutely awesome. And just the random things that Mark Henry says is absolutely amazing. I mean, he said, you think that's it? I got a lot left in the tank. And just awesome. Looking forward to his match against Cena at Money in the Bank, although I do believe that he's going to be used as a pawn in a long, obnoxious John Cena run, but at least he gets an opportunity. Chris Jericho defeating Heath Slater. Good feel-good match for Jericho-holics. Curtis Axel defeating Sin Cara. We've seen that a million times, it seems like now. McMahon power struggle to Vicky Guerrero backstage, and then count out with CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio. Del Rio gets attacked by Ziggler, and then Brock Lesnar comes out and grabs the mic, but F5's Punk. Not too big on CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar. I know a lot of people are really happy about that, but I'm definitely not one of them people. They're unevenly matched. Brock Lesnar is a MMA type of shoot fighter now, so he has been infused when he can brawl. People who are kind of muscle-bound that he can brawl with, that has a chance kind of to be evenly matched with him. But, I mean, he can flatten CM Punk. So, just, I don't like the contrast. I'm just not a fan of it for SummerSlam. From a wrestling standpoint, I think that RVD and CM Punk would be a better match. I have a lot to say about that, but I'm gonna cut it down to just say that I don't like the matchup. I think the hype for it is overrated. I don't think that the match will deliver as much as people think so. I think that it won't be a bad match, but at the same time, just not a big fan of it at all. Hopefully I'm wrong about it, but I don't really think I will be. Real quick SmackDown, Daniel Bryan talks to Ring, calls out Kane. Daniel Bryan calls Kane the weak link, and Kane's about to choke slam Daniel Bryan, but Randy Orton comes out to save. All three of them argue, interrupted by the Shield and Titantron. Sheamus defeats Antonio Cesaro. Damian Sandow blindsides Sheamus as he was celebrating on an entrance ramp. Heath Slater defeats the Great Khali. Chris Jericho and Alberto Del Rio defeats Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. Chris Jericho backstage interview, interrupted by Paul Heyman, and Kaylin defeats Oksana. Actually, it was a no contest because they just start scuffling and playing to Kaylin's "I'm mad, I feel abandoned and embarrassed" angle that she was doing. Curtis Axel defeats Wade Baird. Miz gives Axel a skull crushing finale post match, and Kane and Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton defeats the Shield. Now, there's a few things on SmackDown. Check my SmackDown reviews on WrestlingInc.com. I write one every week, a SmackDown review. Real quick on SmackDown, I do want to talk about the fact that the Shield lost clean to those three. It was a feel-good moment, but at the same time, I don't necessarily think it was a good idea, because I think that should have been saved, because I had that unpinned and and didn't tap out streak had so much momentum to it, that it could have been used for a pay-per-view. Real quick, Impact Wrestling, Hulk Hogan in-ring promo brings out Jeff Hardy, interrupted by Bobby Roode, then by Aces and Eights. Bad Influence defeats Storm and Gunner to advance to the Bound for Glory series. Joseph Park defeats Crimson to advance to the Bound for Glory series. Velvet Sky and Mickey James in-ring segment. Velvet shows her clearance form to wrestle. Mickey attacks her. Full-on heel turn by Mickey. Magnus defeats Kenny King, Matt Morgan, and Rob Terry to advance to the Bound for Glory series. Sting in-ring promo says Main Event Mafia is coming soon. That's pretty exciting for those TNA fans who follow Main Event Mafia. Austin Aries defeats Eric Young to advance to the Bound for Glory series. Mr. Anderson wants the Ace of the Nace Battle Royal to advance the Bound for Glory series. Every other member except Doc willfully exits ring. Pretty interesting there. Kurt Angle and Rampage Jackson talk backstage, and then AJ Styles defeats Kurt Angle to advance to the Bound for Glory series. Not happy that Kurt Angle won't be a part of it. Looks like hopefully they have something better for him, because I think that he should have won. He should have won against Bully Ray. That would have been better. And then Ace of the Nates, they jump Angle post-match, and Rampage makes the save with a chain. Real quick, ROH, and then we'll get to the flavor of the week. Jay Lethal and CNC, they showed clips from Road Rage in Richmond, Virginia. Jay Lethal and CNC Wrestle Factory defeats Matt Taven and Red Dragon. Showed a short clip of that. Kevin Steen defeats Jimmy Jacobs by disqualification, and then they restarted it to a no DQ, and Kevin Steen still wins. Interesting package pile driver on that barricade there. And Jay Briscoe defeats BJ Whitmer. Wonderful match between those two. All right. Well, let's get to the flavor of the week. Pretty interesting flavor of the week this week. We have the five worst, not necessarily in a particular order, but we're going to talk about the five worst angles in the Attitude Era. Now, the Attitude Era is one of the most, probably the most popular era in wrestling history as far as eras that was talked about. So I will go with the first one here. I will talk about, real quick, how Road Warrior Hawk was drunk and falls off the Titantron. Now, many of us know just how amazing the Road Warriors are. They're my favorite tag team of all time. But for some reason, in the late 90s, 2000 era, they decided to break up the Road Warriors and put Darren Drozdoff, if you remember Droz, decided to put him with Road Warrior Animal and managed by Sonny. Now, I thought this was such a horrible, horrible decision to do that. And what the problem is, not only did they break up, one of the best tag teams ever, they decided to, I think it was around 99, it was 99, because I think they called themselves LOD 2000, and it was 99 that they did that ridiculous angle where he where he fell off. He was up on the, it was actually 98-99. Road Warrior Hawk was having a drunk angle, and they decided to play on the alcohol, the alcoholism angle. It was such a horrible angle, and they had him kind of get slurred, kind of look different, and then he like kind of plunged behind the Titantron by being up on top of the Titantron. It was such a horrible, horrible gimmick, and it just really was a knock on Road Warrior Hawk, who was really recovering from alcoholism at the time, and just a horrible and just disrespectful angle during that time. So I would definitely label that as one of the worst angles during the Attitude Era. What you got, Derek?
Well, piggybacking on what you said, the Titantron where he was only like 14 feet off the ground, so he wasn't really going to do much damage. Yeah. However, if you remember Gold Dust became multiple Gold Dusts. He was always the Bizarre Gold Dust when he started. I think it was 95 against Razor Ramon. And then he became like Marilyn Manson Dust and Baby Gold Dust and something to do with Santa Claus, I think. It was a horrible scripting. I mean, Gold Dust to me is an awesome character. The way they build him and just how bizarre and weird he was to just kind of go off and make him to be this absolute disgusting characters. So that was an ultimate fall on the whoever scripted that or booked that should be ashamed of themselves. Made the Attitude Era kind of horrible, and also made Gold Dust's character kind of fall from what it could be, but everyone remembers Gold Dust, so we can kind of forget that. What's next?
Yeah, that's a good point there. All right, well, next is the infamous Mae Young and Mark Henry angle. There was a moment in the late 90s that she was heavily on TV. Actually, it was actually in 2000. She was heavily on TV around late 90s, early 2000. And in 2000, she was 76 years old and involved in an angle with Mark Henry, which ended up concluding that she was pregnant. There was an announcement that she was pregnant. And at the end of the day, when the child was delivered, it ended up being simply a bloody rubber hand. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what the Attitude Era presents to us in form of a legitimate angle that people were supposed to care about. That was absolutely a horrible angle and a bad way to conclude the last couple of years of the Attitude Era. So that definitely was one of the most memorable, but one of the worst that we saw during the Attitude Era. What we got next?
Hey, you hit that nail on the head. I think next we have there was a time when Jim Cornette, he was when he was with WWE in the mid-late 90s, he brought the NWA back to the WWE. Everyone applauded it. Everyone thought it would be great. I myself thought, yeah, okay, whatever. But then he brought back the Midnight Express. Not the original Midnight Express, but it was, I think, Bombastic Bart and...
Yeah.
I forget the other guy. Bodacious Bob or something. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. As much as I love Jim Cornette, that was a really bad... go for it. He made Jeff Jarrett like the NWA heavyweight champion for a while. All my respects to Jeff Jarrett. He's a great in-ring performer. But again, with the Midnight Express, Bombastic Bart, I mean, he's fantastic. I've never heard anyone say that in the 80s. So that was kind of failed. It was meant to be a failure. Vince McMahon knew it when he started it, but someone had his back. I'm sure it wasn't Jim Cornette. I'm sure he hated it too, but that was a flop. The Attitude Era, and let's go to what the, I won't say number one, but what adds fuel to the fire.
Yeah, Bombastic Bob and Bodacious Bart, Dan Severn, the Midnight Express, that was the new Midnight Express was horrible, and then the old Rock and Roll Express was a part of it as well, and then Barry Windham turned and went with them, and then you're right, Jeff Jarrett was like the NWA North American Heavyweight Champion, and that was just really odd. So, you're right, it's not necessarily the top five, but this is probably the number one out of the pack. Now, we know about the corporation feuding with each other. that was probably one of the most, or not the most, pivotal moment in WWE history as far as Austin and McMahon and the corporation. Rock turns heel in 98, wins the title in Survivor Series 98. But The Undertaker and Shane McMahon started to get involved in the 90s, the late 90s, 99. And they said that they were doing the things. They were kidnapping Stephanie McMahon, and they were attributing their actions to a higher power. And it was a suspenseful angle because, you know, a lot of times the big reveal angles are anticipated or are good to look at if it delivers correctly. And so for weeks we were trying to figure out who this higher power was. Now, a lot of people said Jake Roberts. Unfortunately, even people I remember, you know, at that time was even saying Owen Hart, you know, God bless his soul, who passed away, you know, a couple years earlier than that. You know, who would even think to stoop that low? Let the man rest in peace. So that was ridiculous. And so we had all these different names that was thrown out there. And then finally, we get to the point where the higher power is unveiled, and we have someone that was hooded, and the hood comes off, and it was none other than Vince McMahon, who said, "It was me, Austin. It was me all along. You all bought it hook, line, and sinker." Now, it was a total bust to build it up that much just for it to be Vince McMahon was absolutely horrible, and I think it was probably the most failed gimmick that the WWE had around that time, because they put so much stock in it just to have a horrible payoff. So five interesting busted angles during the Attitude Era. And all right, Derek, close us out. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and had a great time today. All right, Derek.
Okay, everyone, seriously, this is Pancakes and Power Slams. We are everything professional wrestling. Chris Featherstone, the creator of Pancakes and Power Slams, follow him on Bleacher Report under Crave Wrestling, WrestlingInc.com, Twitter, 347-884-8452. It's a call-in number, Pancakes and Power Slams, every Tuesday night at 11 o'clock. We've got so much in store for you. Chris is working hard. He's going to have special guests on here, wrestlers past, present, future. This is your stop for professional wrestling. It is going to be, it's waiting to explode. We are going to go all over the place. You're going to hear everything about Pancakes and Power Slams. We need your support. We need you to call in. We need you on the chat room at 347-884-8452, WrestlingInc.com. Again, Bleacher Report. Follow Chris Featherstone. Crave Wrestling. This is your ultimate stop for professional wrestling. We just talked about the last pay-per-view. We talked about Monday Night Raw less than 24 hours ago. This is how up-to-date we are. We talk about wrestling past. We just talked about Attitude Era. We have Flavor of the Week. People can chime in, talk about their favorite wrestling memories, their predictions for the future, what they think about it now. This is everything that embodies professional wrestling. We thank you so much for tuning in. We want your support.
Real quick, looks like Heat was up one, closing it out, unfortunately. Sponsors, Crave Wrestling, Pancakes and Power Slam reaches hundreds of thousands of people through Blog Talk Radio, through WrestlingInc.com, through Bleacher Report, reach hundreds of thousands of people. And there is a plethora, a huge opportunity for you to join us with the cause, with reaching so many people in the wrestling world. 347-884-8452. But check this out. Sponsors, send us an email, cravewrestling@gmail.com. You will have, you can even call in to have a testimonial. You will have your product aired. You would have ample amount of opportunity to share your product. Whatever cause you have, whatever company you're for, give us a call, 347-884-8452, to call us. But the sponsors, you have a wonderful opportunity to join us, the cause, and reaching many people. So cravewrestling@gmail.com, cravewrestling@gmail.com. Company, sponsor, if you're a company, if you're a radio show, if you are a writer, if you are a wrestling, independent wrestling organization, we will air your stuff. We will let you, we will talk about you, we will plug you. And if you are interested, cravewrestling@gmail.com. Join the revolution. We are here. We're just getting better and better and better. Thank you so much. Derek's doing a great job. And unfortunately, the Heat won. So that's the bad part. But all you Heat fans, congratulations. But we have a great time every week. Again, really, really, really serious about the sponsors, for those who are interested in really, really blasting your product, blasting your company in the midst of hundreds of thousands of people, cravewrestling@gmail.com to email cravewrestling. And we will air your stuff, and we will blast your company and let the world know about your product. CraveWrestling@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next week, have a wonderful week, and God bless. Goodbye.